In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here in the United States of America, in the 21st century, we are free to practice the fullness of the Christian faith. This has been rare in the history of the Orthodox Christian faith. Down through history, it has been anywhere from difficult to nearly impossible to practice the fullness of all of the faith together. One place after another, in Asia, in Europe, all over the Orthodox world, Christians have had to live under the authority of some oppressive power that kept them from being able to live the fullness of the faith in all of its dimensions. Here in America today, we are free. We are able to practice the fullness of the faith, but our temptation and our godlessness and our commitment to the things of the world is so great that that may in fact be the reason that the enemy does not see fit to add oppression beyond that on top of us. Are we able to receive the fullness of the light that God died on the cross in order to give to us? That's the question. Or are we so filled with ourselves and with this world and with the love of this world that there is no danger of Christ filling our hearts? Our hearts are already filled to the brim with the things of this world and the love of this world. And more often than not, when we turn to God, it is to ask Him to give us more of the things that fill our hearts other than God and the divine light that He died on the cross in order to make it possible for us to receive. We need to empty our hearts and to purify them in order to be able to receive the fullness of the life of Christ. In this Lenten season, one of the unexpected blessings that I and the priests of the Diocese of the South have received is that regularly our administrative bishop has sent us in emails extracts from the writings of St. Anthony of Sorzo, Metropolitan Anthony. As I mentioned last time I quoted him, many in England, both Orthodox and non-Orthodox, do consider Metropolitan Anthony to be a saint, but he is not certainly recognized as a saint. Metropolitan Anthony wrote something about the reception of communion, especially for this day that we are remembering today. The day in Great Lent when we think of St. John of the Ladder, St. John Climacus, who wrote the book called The Ladder of Divine Ascent, where this great monk and spiritual leader tries to teach us how to struggle against the vices of our lives and share the virtue of Christ, not to build our own virtues, but to share in the virtues of the perfect humanity of Christ. That is how we become victorious over our vices. The virtue that we seek is to share the divine life of Christ Himself. Metropolitan Anthony says that many of us receive communion regularly, and this is something that has been very difficult in earlier times. Here in America and in England, where Metropolitan Anthony was, regular communion is possible. There is no oppressive government keeping us away from the chalice. The problem is that we receive the body of Christ into ourselves, and there may not be room for the presence of God in us bodily. Metropolitan Anthony says that we may not deeply understand what we are receiving, and he says he's not talking about understanding intellectually. It's not something that can be taught in a book. We can only try to wound our hearts and remind ourselves of the reality of our actual relationship to God. Our lack of understanding, then, is not in our mind. It's not in our intellect. Our lack of understanding is in our heart. And remember, when we talk about the heart, we're not talking about the mind. We're not talking about knowledge. We're not talking about emotion. We're not talking about passion. We're not talking about feeling. We're talking about the place that God can enter into and be the center of our lives, so that all of our bodies are filled with the presence of God. That is where God enters into. We are used to thinking of that in terms of the Jesus prayer and spiritual effort. But not often enough do we realize that it applies to the reception of communion as well. We come to receive Christ himself physically. We are able to receive Christ into ourselves bodily. What are we receiving when we receive communion? The argument in the West has always been about, is it the real presence of the body and blood of Christ? Is it not the real presence of the body and blood of Christ? Is it just a commemoration? But that argument is completely aside from what we're talking about now. It's never occurred in the Eastern Orthodox churches. What if we decide, okay, firmly, I believe it is the body and blood of Christ that we receive at communion? Excellent. Now we come, we receive it. What if it doesn't make any difference? What if it doesn't do any good? What's the reason for that? Is it not the body and blood of Christ? It didn't help. I went out into the world. I wasn't any different. I wasn't any better. There's a reason for that, and that's the reason that Metropolitan Anthony is concerned about. Our Orthodox understanding is that we are receiving Christ into ourselves. When we are baptized into his life, and we receive communion, we are receiving him into our body. We enter into and share in his divine life so that he can enter into us, so that we can fulfill that sharing of divine life. That's why we come to communion. It's not medicine the way we understand medicine today. Take it, it will make you better. There's more going on than that. The humanity of Christ is perfect humanity, sinless, pure, and his is also divinity. At the same time, he is both fully God, fully divine, and fully human. And his perfect humanity is taken into us, and it joins with our humanity. In order to be human, we need to eat food. It becomes part of our body. And this is food that we are being given, that is the life of God himself. Metropolitan Anthony says that what happens when we come to communion and receive Christ into ourselves is like taking cold iron and plunging it into a furnace, into a fire. And the iron glows with the divine presence and perfect humanity of Christ. And that when we take that sword into the world, it will cut through all of the difficulties that we face in the world. But again, what if that doesn't happen? We come from communion, we're no different than we were before. We have not prepared. We are not being as fully changed as we might be were we not already filled with the world and with our love of things other than God. We can't add the body and blood of Christ on top of all of that and expect it to have more than just a very, very minor difference, if any difference at all. We need to prepare to come to communion in awe and understanding that we are receiving God into ourselves. Are we worthy? No, we're not worthy. But just saying, well, I'm not worthy, so I'll just go, that's not good enough. We have to reject and deny and cast off all of the things that killed Christ, that humiliated him, that led to his death on the cross, not participate in those things ourselves. Whether we recognize it or not, as St. Paul says, as we are baptized into his life, and as we receive his body and blood into ourselves, all of the things that happen to us in our life in the world happen to him. They don't just happen to us alone. When we sin, when we miss the mark, when we fall prey to temptation of whatever kind, we submit the body of Christ in us to that humiliation. We feel isolated, and so we feel, oh, it's just me. It doesn't affect God. It doesn't affect anybody else. The things that we do that we ought not to have done, the things that we confess when we come to confession, we confess in order to rid them, not because God doesn't know about them. He knew about them. He was there when they were happening. It was him we were humiliating, and his divinity that we have taken into ourselves, the life that we were baptized into, it is that divinity and that humanity, that perfect humanity, that we were submitting to humiliation exactly at the moment when we were doing the things that we come to confess at the sacrament of confession. One of the things that we ought to have learned during the Great Lenten season is how far we fall short of fulfilling openness to the perfection of God's humanity in us we actually are. Bit by bit we realize how little we really do and how much we prefer the world and its food and its fruits and its satisfaction to God and the true life that God created us to live. As we dare to come again and again to receive the body and blood of Christ, let us prepare with awe for the fact that what is happening is really happening. And repentance for the fact that we have not borne hardly any fruit as a result. There are no shortcomings when it comes to the perfection of the humanity of Christ or his divinity. He is not the reason that we have not borne the fruit that we ought to bear, the fruit of living a holy life in the world, being the presence of God in the world, instead of shaming him by living the life of the world, even though we are proud to say that we are Orthodox Christians. We know the fullness of the Christian tradition and the fullness of the Christian faith, and we can tell about it. But do we live the life that God died in order to give to us? That is the kind of preparation that we need to make every time we come to receive the body and blood of Christ into ourselves, to pervade our bodies as it does. And what places does it find? Anywhere there in any of our members, the arms that we use, the legs that we use, the eyes that we use to see, the tongues that we use to speak. What places does it find in any of our members to show forth the presence of Christ in the world? Or do we, even having received the body and blood of Christ into ourselves, witness to the fact that it has made no difference because we are filled with the presence of the world? And the fact that God has died in order to make it possible for us to live makes no difference to us. We live exactly as we would have had he never become incarnate. Those are the kinds of comparisons we have to make in our own lives as we prepare to approach the sacred mystery of oneness with God. Oneness with God is not something that is safely off in the never, never distant area that is only open to monastics in the desert, where we here in parishes safely simply receive communion week after week, and we're not involved with that. We are involved with it if we come and dare receive the mystery of physical oneness with Christ. We need not to take it for granted and to prepare ourselves. Open the space in our heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, Jesus says. We Orthodox know what that means. Blessed are those who are pure of the world and the love of the world at the center of who they are, for they shall see God. Let us, during the remaining time of this Lenten season, resolve to prepare ourselves each time for Holy Communion and not come for the minimum requirement of once, maybe twice, to confession and just fulfill the formality. If we come once, twice, however often we come, let us prepare by making the effort to empty ourselves of the love of the world and all those things that crucified and humiliated Christ. Confess those things in awe and seek repentance, a change of heart, a change of mind, so that we can come and receive at the chalice the body and blood of Christ, having made as good a preparation as we possibly can, throwing out all of the things that are burned away by the presence of the fire of God, and strengthening, Metropolitan Anthony says, those few things that we have that are able to receive Him. The little love that we have for God. The little true repentance that we have been able to accomplish. That is our only way of preparing to receive the life of Christ into ourselves bodily. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.